Well, thank you again for inviting me to come and speak. It's always an honour to open God's Word and a privilege to be able to study it, meditate upon it, and then share it with you wonderful folk this morning. There's been many events in the world that changes the world. Events that people have never seen before. But after that event happens, people talk about that event year after year after year. World War I was an event that changed the world. World War II also was an event that changed the world. The Black Plague over Europe changed the world. I remember going a couple of years ago in England, my uncle drove me around England and he showed me patches of grass. He says, no one's allowed to do anything to that grass because that's where all the dead people from the Black Plague were buried. You can't touch that grass. It changed the world. When those planes went to Twin Towers years back in America, changed the world. One event that happened in 1969 that changed many people's thinking about the world and about the space was when Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins prepared to be the first people to ever put foot on the moon. 9:23 a.m. they heard it was time for takeoff. About 12 minutes to reach the Earth's orbit. They hear from Mission Control, translunar injection, or other words, head towards the moon. Takes 3 days to reach lunar orbit. Another day to prepare. The Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin jump into the module and start to descend down to the moon. Neil Armstrong said it was a bit scary. Why? Of course, they weren't quite sure of the surface when they landed there. Would it hold the module? The computer system in the module was playing up. They had to manually land this module. When they landed, they had 30 seconds left for fuel only. But the door goes down, and Neil Armstrong is the first man to walk down that little ladder and put his foot on the moon. We all know his famous saying, one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. For 2.5 hours, these two men look around the moon, take photos, put the American flag in. They leave a plaque that read this. We are the first men from planet Earth to set foot upon the moon in 1969. We come in peace for all mankind. They go back, they report about the moon. The next 3 years, another 10 astronauts also went to the moon. Because of one man's first bold step on the moon, 10 other astronauts were allowed to follow him. He took the first step. When we have children, kids are a gift from God and they're a joy. We're so joyful when they're born, seeing God's creation. We're joyful when they roll around, start to crawl, and then start to walk around furniture. When they take the first step, it's great joy. Our little ones taking the first step in the world. Now they can explore the world and see what the world is like. It reminds me of our Christian faith. We're commanded to step out in faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have saving faith, yes. We place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. We have saving faith. But living faith is different. Where we step out and say, God, today I'm going to live for you. It's not about what I want, not about my desires, not about pleasing everybody else. It's about pleasing him. But sometimes it's hard to take the first step. Because the first step is sometimes a step in the unknown. How has this changed my life? Does that mean I've got to stop doing things that oppose to God that I love dearly? That I know I've got to give away? Doesn't mean I've got to go and tell people about Jesus knowing that they will laugh at me or mock me or persecute me. Taking the first step sometimes is the hardest step to take. Are we ones who've taken that step of faith? Let's pray. Loving Father, we praise and thank you for being a wonderful and amazing God. We thank you for the scriptures where you revealed yourself through the word. We pray this morning as you open your word that you open our eyes, our hearts, that you, the Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. May we leave this building this morning as changed people, desiring to be ones to step out in faith. Now you're a God who never fail us. You're a God who never leave us. You're a God who never let us down. Yet somehow we can understand how we take that first step. Help us, Loving Father, understand your word in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got your Bibles, please turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Just a brief background of Joshua. Moses was the leader of the Israelites, and Moses dies. Joshua becomes new leader of the Israelites. In chapter 1, God says to him, be strong of good courage. I'm with you every step of the way. Chapter 2, we meet a lady called Rahab, a harlot or a prostitute. And two spies enter a city called Jericho, and she hides them from the king's men. And she saves their lives, and they promise to, when they come back to Jericho, that her and her household will be saved. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. It amazes me. Rahab's in the Great Faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Yet she was not Jewish. She was an Israelite. She was a Gentile harlot at that time. But God can still use anyone for his purpose. We go to chapter 3, and the two spies have just come back and said to Joshua, we can conquer Jericho. So how are they going to do it? How are they going to get across to the river Jordan to Jericho? And chapter 3 describes a wonderful picture of how Joshua leads the people in the very first step of faith into promised land to defeat Jericho. And it's three important truths this morning we must understand that Joshua shows you that we must have in our lives, we're going to step out in faith. The first point is this. We must have the right perspective of who God is. The right perspective of God. Let's read verses 1 to 4 of chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go. We have not passed this way before. Unknown territory. Have you ever felt at times that God is distant, that God's not hearing you? Have you felt at times when you're going through a real tough period, you know, say, God, are you really there? Are you really in my life? Or when I chase after sin and I get tempted to do this sin that's constantly plaguing my life, I say, God, if you really cared, you'll give me the ability, which he does give me the ability, to say no. I paint a picture of God in my eyes, in my mind. I paint a picture of God, the way I view God. And it's no different than Israelites. The previous generation has been wandering for 40 years. They painted a perspective of what God was like. Who knows what they told this generation has made the promised land? They might say, oh, that God is very harsh. He made us wander for 40 years. Oh, that God gave us, yes, quail and bread every morning, won't be, but just give what we wanted. And I reckon they were painted a picture of the Israelites, what God was like. And now this new generation see the promised land. How do they view God? How do they see this God who is holy and perfect and righteous? But one man, Joshua, shows them who God is. In verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning. How does Joshua respond to all this? He rose early in the morning. Joshua was a great man of God, assistant of Moses for many years, a military leader. He was one of the spies that came back with a good report with Caleb, telling Moses that we can get this land. One commentator says this, Joshua was a man where there's no negative facts about him. He was a man who can truly be admired. He was a man who made a difference. And the idea here, rising early in the morning, is the idea here of spending time with the Lord. Four times in the book of Joshua, we see he rises early in the morning. Why? Because he had a perspective of God, that God can do the impossible. He sets out from Acacia Grove, about 11 kilometres they have to walk to Jordan. About 2 million people they predict was around that time. He brings the whole group of people 11 kilometres to Jordan and says, they should stay here and wait. What's amazing about that? We're not even sure if Joshua knew the plan yet. Joshua didn't know he was across the Jordan River. Joshua didn't know this river overflows at this time of year. The river is so deep they can't walk across at this point. How they get across? But he says, we're going to go there. 2 million of us are going to go there. We're going to stop there and wait because God will bring us across. Don't know how. Don't know what the plan is yet. But God will bring us across. He believed God can do the impossible. Maybe in his mind he thought we could build boats or rafts. But then he did that. Jericho could conquer pretty easily. Maybe we could try to swim across. But 2 million people trying to swim across wouldn't be very practical. But he said, let's lodge here and wait upon God. And they lodged there for 3 days. He had the right perspective of who God was. What about us? Warren Wiersbe says in Christian life, you're either an overcomer or become overcome. You're a victor or a victim. So God never used us, made us to be statues. He saved us to wait upon him and to live for him. But in today's world, when I say I want to follow God, I want God to do things my way or my terms. And I don't want to wait upon God and say, God, I want you to do it now. I want you to stop me doing those sins. I want you to help me share the gospel. I want me to be a better father to my children, a better husband to my wife. I want it now, God. Joshua says, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait upon God because he will do the impossible. And 2 million people, imagine 2 million people sitting on the banks of the Jordan, watching this water overflow and overflow, looking at Joshua, he says, we will wait. How do people respond? Look at verse 2. It's amazing, this picture you've got here. After 3 days, the officers, those in charge of the people under Joshua, go for the camp. They command the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, in the priests and Levites, carrying it or bearing it, you shall set out from your place to go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, but 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go. We have not passed this way before. 3 days, 2 million people sitting there waiting. Officers come through and say, when you see the ark of the Lord your God, follow. The ark of the Lord your God is mentioned in chapter 3 and chapter 4 16 times. Or the ark of the Lord or the ark or the ark of the Lord your God is mentioned 14 times. 16 times in 2 chapters. Why? Because the ark represents the very presence of God. He had the 10 commandments in the ark of the covenant. They were sprinkled blood on the ark of the covenant, day of atonement. Where the ark was symbolized the very presence of God. And what Moses is saying here, or the people are saying to Moses here, to Joshua's people here, when the ark of the God starts to move towards the Jordan River, follow the ark, follow the presence of God. God would lead you and direct you through the Jordan River into the promised land. But stay back. 2,000 cubits or 3,000 feet or 915 meters away from the ark. Why? Well, some say it was 2 million people. They need distance back to see the ark, to follow God, to follow his presence wherever he would lead them. Follow God. He would lead you through the Jordan River. He would lead you to unfamiliar ground. It was the throne of God, reminder of God's promise to his people. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. Imagine that. The priest pick up the Ark of the Covenant and too many people watching, and they follow God to the Jordan River. You know, what amazes me is we have God revealed through his word. We have God revealed through our lives. We pray to the Almighty God through prayer. God indwells inside of us the Holy Spirit. We have the very presence of God. But do we look and follow? Do I follow God every day of my life? Where God leads me, do I go? Or do I take my eyes off God and focus on all other areas of life? Is my family more important than God? Sometimes I'll take the opportunity to think it is, but God's more important. My hobbies and following sport and all those kinds of things, is that more important than God? And of course the answer is no, but sometimes in my life it appears to be more important. I don't follow God, the very presence of God. I don't have the right perspective of who God is. And he never failed me, never let me down, never say, James, you know, go away. Of course the blood of Christ moving forever. But do I follow him? Joshua says to Israelites, follow the Ark of the Covenant, follow God, and he will bring you to a place you've never been before. And sometimes I'm scared to think, if I follow God to a place I've never been to before, what would that be like? How will that change my life? What would that look like? It comes down again to faith, taking that step of faith. And the right perspective of who God is. I need to follow him wherever he goes. Second point is this. I need the right preparation. The right preparation. If I'm going to follow God, I need to be prepared correctly to follow God. When a young baby or a young toddler starts to walk, they first crawl, then they hold their hands around lounges and tables to get their balance. They prepare themselves the very first step. Then they're off. Joshua comes around in verse 5. Before the priests and Levites had picked up the Ark of the Covenant, he says in verse 5 to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He commands them to be sanctified, to be prepared. I was thinking about that. If I was in charge of 2 million people about to fight Jericho, I would say, get your swords ready. Sharpen your spears. Get your arrows ready. Let's get things to ram that gate. Let's get organized. It doesn't mention weapons. It doesn't mention any military plans. He says each person must be prepared. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, he says. Guaranteed tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow you'll see the miracle of God. But are you ready to see that? Now, sanctification is the idea of being holy, set apart, purified. And back in those days, what they would do to get ready in the Old Testament was they would have wash themselves in the river and put on new clothes. They're clean, ready to go. I think that sounds a bit strange. They didn't bathe themselves every day back in those days. They would get there, wash themselves and change clothes. At Mount Sinai, they changed clothes. Jacob returned to Bethel, changed clothes and washed himself. David, after he confessed his sin, bathed and changed clothes. He's now clean. 2 Samuel 12 says, David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes and went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Joseph says, are you ready? Set apart, pure, clean. Are you ready to see the wonders of the Almighty God? Are you ready for that? That's an awesome, wonderful commandment that Joshua gives his people. And we can imagine from this that they did go and wash themselves and change their clothes, ready to meet the mighty God. Let me ask myself this question. How often do I miss the wonder of God? Yes, we're set apart positionally. Yes, we know that. We stand in front of God, justified, declared not guilty because of Christ. Positionally, we are set apart and cleansed. One day we'll be glorified in glory. But until we get there, this is term called progressive sanctification. It means we're being set apart each day through reading God's word and the Holy Spirit. We should be more like Christ, ready to meet him in glory. But are we people set apart from this world, looking to see the wonder of God? 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Things you watch on TV, does that stop me seeing the wonder of God? People gossip, or people get angry, people lie, whatever it might be, whatever reason, am I missing seeing the wonder of God? If I struggle in devotions each morning because I'm too tired or late might be, am I missing out on the wonder of God? Because it's all about what I want to do. And God says through Joshua here, no, set yourselves apart. Be ready to see me, see my wonders, be ready to see what I can do for the people of Israel. Just get a glimpse of the wonder of God will change your life forever. Just a glimpse. But to miss out on seeing the very wonder of God. Why? You're not prepared to see him. But also, preparation requires courage. Verse 6 says, Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. They took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. They needed courage, these priests. They were brave men. Whatever you hear about priests and Levites, these ones here are brave. He says, take the Ark and walk to the Jordan, walk through it. No one's ever done it before. But you priests are going to do it. And 2 million people behind you are going to follow. They take up the Ark and just go. No complaints, no grumbling, no saying, Joshua, have you lost your mind? They had courage. And because of their courage, to take the first step under Joshua's leadership into the Jordan, too many other people followed them through. It was these men's first step of faith. You know, leaders in our families, leaders in churches, if we are people of courage, set apart, looking for the wonders of God, focused on the very presence of God, others will follow. If I'm a father who leads my kids well, they will follow. If I'm a husband, my wife well, she will follow. If we're church leaders, or ministry leaders in Sunday school, or whatever it might be, and we lead these kids well, they will follow Christ. Not us, but Christ. And these priests got up with great courage, and people followed. Right perspective of who God is. Right preparation to meet God. And thirdly, the right response to the presence of God. Right response to the presence of God. Joshua again was an amazing man. In verse 7 to 13, God tells Joshua a wonderful promise. We can have the right response to the presence of God through the word of God. Verse 7 says this, the Lord said to Joshua, this day, this is the day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. And thou may know that I, as I was with Moses, I will be with you also. This, today, Israelites will know you're my leader. Go and tell them this word. Go and tell them this promise. In verse 8, you should command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Joshua goes to the children of Israel as leader and tells them the very word of God. He says, come and hear. And hear. Listen intently. Focus on the very words of the Lord your God. And this is what God tells him through Joshua. By this you shall know that the living God is among you. He is present with you, in other words. And he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites and Jebusites. He will destroy them without fail. Behold, verse 11 says, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And we know that that was later on in Joshua, they built a memorial that the Lord was faithful and just. But just by the very words of God, Joshua tells the people that God is with them and God will not fail them in any aspects. And they believed that promise. They believed that God would go before them and would destroy all their enemies. Believing the promises of God. Do I believe God's presence in my life? Yes, I do. Do I think that way sometimes? Maybe not. But we have the very promises of God in His scriptures. Promises, He says, be anxious for nothing. For prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to me, He says. I'll give you a peace beyond your understanding. Do you believe that promise? Then why don't I get down my hands and knees and pray? Just cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Do you believe that promise? God cares for me. Do you believe the promise? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No one can pluck us out of His hands. The promise of glory in heaven. The promise that we indeed have the power to say no to sin because we're dead in, because we have power over sin now. We're no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of God. Do you believe the promises that we can resist the devil and he'll flee? Do you believe His promises? Too many people believed on the word of Joshua that God is with them every step of the way. They're willing to follow the ark of God that the priests are holding through this Jordan River based on one man's telling the word of God that He is amongst them. Stepping out in faith. You know, it's one thing saying I want to follow God. One thing saying we need to be prepared for God. One thing saying I believe the promises in God. We must take that step. In verse 14 to 17, they take the step. We read, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. As those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Now the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the sea that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over to the Jordan. Priests walk, dip their toes in the water if you like, and it parts. Adam is 26 kilometers away. Parts. Had to be a big gap. Too many people to walk through. The priests walk into the middle of the Jordan. It amazes me, verse 17, the ground's dry. No mud. There's no squishy mud, just dry ground. And they stand in the midst of the river. And too many people walk past them to the other side. It would be amazing if one of those Israelites walking past the Ark of the Covenant, focusing on God, the water's been parted in two, and you walk on dry land to the other ground. What an amazing thing to experience. By course of Joshua's leadership, too many people made it to the other side. At the start of the message, we looked at one man stepping on the moon. The 10 other people followed. Joshua, because of his leadership and the priest stepping out in faith, too many people followed. Imagine we stepped out in faith. All those people we can influence for Christ. All those who can follow. Not follow us, but follow God. Imagine if I stepped out in faith and willing to share the gospel at work or at school, university. step out in faith and tell people about the truth of God's word. How many people can we influence for Christ? I received a phone call late yesterday from a stranger in the community, and he's asking him about having sex outside marriage. Don't even go what number. And he said, should I have unprotected sex or unprotected sex? I said, no sex, because you're not married. He was horrified at that response. We talked for about half hour about Christ and about the Bible and about Christianity, and everything he, I said, he opposed. But my step of faith in telling him about Christ might go nowhere. It doesn't matter. But who knows that he might read the scriptures himself or get a track himself. Who knows what happened to his life? Are we people willing to take that first step in the unknown? Focusing on God, being prepared to see the wonders of God, being brave to do that, believing the promises of his word, and then taking that step. There's one thing I never do in life, and that's bungee jumping or parachuting. It doesn't fascinate me at all. But I watch on TV, and people are up there, and they look down, and they've got to have the courage to take their first step. Because it's unknown where you're going to fall. Obviously, they know you're going to bounce back up and down and stuff like that. When they take the first step, they say is the greatest ride of their life. If I can take the first step of faith in following God, what a life we can live. Yes, opposed to the world. Yes, opposed to popular thinking. Yes, opposed to many other people. But we get to live and serve the most wonderful and amazing God in this world who said, I'm with you every step of the way. Holding my hands, I take the first step saying, I'll bring you into the unknown land, but do you trust me? My challenge for you this morning is this. Are you willing to step out in faith and live a life that glorifies him? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you for the story and the true event of Joshua here, the people of Israel. Every one man, through the way he viewed you, willing to bring 2 million people to the River Jordan and just to wait for your response. How you commanded them to follow the ark of God, the very presence of God, wherever the God, wherever you led them to follow. The command for Joshua to be ready, set apart to see your wonders. Having the courage to do that, may we also have the same courage. Believe in the very promises of God and right perspective of the presence of God in our lives. And knowing that, may we take that step. Living a life that has no regrets. A life that doesn't say, I wish you did more for God. But a life that I'm going to step out. Wherever you lead me, I will go. Help us have that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.